Awesome. Hey, all right, we're going to get into the message, and whilst Reese may not be culturally relevant, the gospel always is. So we're going to dive into that. God, we just thank you today that you are going to bring out that spirit of revelation, that you're going to put something in us today that brings us closer to you. Holy Spirit, we pray that there is more and more Christ-likeness. God, I pray that you take off our temporal perspective, just what we can see in our own lives, and I pray that you give us an eternity perspective. You start to show us what's important to you, and that you start to build in us just a great vision of that we get to serve your plan. God, we thank you today that there is such a change in our lives coming. In your mighty, wonderful name, amen. Amen. Awesome. We're going to start, as always, with a story. And this story sounds a little depressing to begin with, so bear with me. If you've been a member of our church for a while, or if you're a guest, you might realize that our church is 30 years old and I'm 34. So no, I haven't been pastoring this church for 30 years, since I was a four-year-old. We transitioned the church from our outgoing senior pastors who founded the church, and they're doing great. I know we haven't seen them in a little while. They've been ministering around to other churches, and they're hopefully back. I think it's next week, which is going to be awesome to have them back. But a few years ago, we transitioned the church, and the first 6 months was rough. It was hard, but it was also really good. Lots of things went well, and church was doing really great. And we had these great expectations that God was doing some amazing things. And in that time, God was showing us, you know, the future of the church and what it looked like. And we had such hope towards God, what you're going to do and what he was going to change in everybody. And there was so much hope for the future. And then came the first quarter of 2023. I had my expectations as high as they could possibly be. For the church vision, for the finances, for everything that was going on. But the actual results were very dim. In the first quarter of 2023, we were overspent or dipping into our savings as a church by $5,000 a month. And so in the first 3 months, we were $15,000 in the red. And I was scared. Been pastoring the church 6 months, or 9 months by the end of that, 9 months, and it's not looking good. See, in church, I'm sure if you've been around in church finances for a while, you might know this, but it runs tight all the time anyway. And really, the biggest expenses are buildings and all of the things that we've got, but they're a fixed expense. You can't really change them. The only variable expense is people's wages. And so here I was looking at the wage line and going, okay, well, that's the only place that we can move the expenses. I'm gonna look at reducing the wages of people that are already working twice as hard as what they're paid for. Because if you've also been around church, you know, it's not a great income for those people. It's definitely not how you make your career. I was scared for my friends that I might have to cut wages or make them redundant. Most of all, I was scared for the future. If this was the first 3 months of 2023, like what, if this trend keeps going, like there's not a church, like what do we do? And I was so scared. I picked up the phone and I called one of the guys that had mentored me for a few years. And I just poured out my heart of what was going on, and he saw that I was stressed, and he saw that everything was tough, and he's got way bigger problems than we do. And he said to me, "Congratulations! It took you 9 months, but you found the hardest part." And then he said something so life-changing, instantly life-changing. He said, "But be careful not to despise the things that bring you to your knees." And I had immediate clarity that this battle was going to be won in prayer. So we went into the committee of management meeting and I prepared the committee and I said, hey, this is what we got to do. This is where we're at. We're going to have to look at, you know, the wage expense. And the committee came up with a plan of what that wage expense would look like and when we would make those changes if nothing changed. But most importantly, the committee got on their knees and prayed. And the committee said, hey, that's it. This is the battle done in prayer. The outcome was that within the next 3 months, it had turned back around and we were back to zero. Woohoo! Great. Amazing. Within the 12 months of 2023, the church had its best financial year it has had in 13 years. Now, that doesn't mean we made lots of money by any stretch of the imagination, but the church had one of its only 3 years in the black in the last 13. God came through, and instead of looking back at that time as a time of trouble and harshness and darkness, I look back at that time as God used that time in our lives to bring me back into his presence, to grow me, to change us, and bring us closer to him. And so today's message is called Clarity in Calamity. This theme for the month is As Led By. Now, each of the messages in this month are going to be whatever the Holy Spirit puts on the heart of whoever's rostered to preach. And so what we wanted to do is really give freedom for the Holy Spirit to go, hey, you do whatever you want to do. And we always do that. We always want to have that moment and those times where we're like, God, what do you want to do with this? But sometimes God sets on us, okay, teach this scripture, teach this book, teach this book. In October, we decided God wanted to give a bit of a free-for-all and go as led by. So today's message, Clarity in Calamity, God gave to me to preach today. And I'm sure that this is for someone here that has calamity going on in their life. So we're going to set the scene. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 11. But before we do that, I want to kind of give you a little bit of context as to what's going on. Now, the Jewish people at the time of Jesus are under Roman rule, if you don't know already. And under this Roman rule, it's not exactly great. It was taken over by force, as by war, as the Roman Empire did. And then it was governed entirely by the Roman rule. And the Jewish people were very subject to, they had some areas they were allowed to work within, but really they were subject to the Roman rule. And they didn't like it. They hated it. Because to them, God had promised them a nation. And right now they are a nation under someone else's rule, not under God's rule. Isaiah had written back 700 years before Jesus about the coming Messiah. And so the people of that time had 700 years of built up expectations of what the Messiah would look like, of what Jesus was going to look like. They said, hey, Jesus is going to do all of these things that Isaiah wrote. And so what they had in their mind had to match, and this person had to be what they thought. So what did they think? First, we're going to read Isaiah chapter 35. And it says, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, divine retribution, and he will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be open, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs in the haunts where jackals once lay. Grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go on that go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. I want to focus on this part first. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, divine retribution, and he will come to save you. Now, can you imagine being a Jewish person in Roman rule? You've been subject to Roman rule for generations now, and you've got this promise here. You can't help but think this promise is whoever comes is going to punish the Romans. They're going to come with divine retribution that when the Messiah comes, it's going to overturn the Roman Empire. The Messiah will overturn the Roman Empire. See, I've got feeble hands. My knees have been giving way. I've had fearful hearts. But God's going to come and he's going to fix this all. It's a pretty easy way to translate that scripture into your life, right? It's very, very easy for the Jewish people of the time to think that divine retribution was coming against the Romans. In Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 9, this just strengthened the thought of the Jewish people at the time. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests for the Lord. You will be named ministers of God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of your disgrace, you will receive your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, for everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice, hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are blessed by the Lord." Can you see that they wanted their city back? To the Jewish people, this was a promise. This was a promise that Israel, that Jerusalem, that had been held by the enemy, by the hand not of God, was going to be overturned and back to them. Not only that, but that had been the promise from 700 years. That had been the expectation over generations and generations that finally the ruined cities will be rebuilt. How do we know that this was the Jewish expectation? See, in John chapter 16, verse 14 and 15, it says, "After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, 'Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world.' Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself." See, Jesus knew that once they recognized that he was the Messiah, they were going to try and overthrow the Roman Empire with him. But that wasn't Jesus' plan. See, this wrongful expectation, it came from the Jewish people seeing their problem as if it was the biggest problem. How many times have you in your life seen your problem as the biggest problem And then you see someone else going through something and you go, wow, my problem's so small. See, that perspective, it shifts and it says, actually what I was going through is not so hard. But the Jewish people, they'd seen their problem as the biggest problem. They had the temporary perspective, but Jesus had an eternal perspective. Now, within this culture, John the Baptist comes. And John the Baptist, he's an amazing man, Jesus' cousin. And he declares as a prophecy to the world that Jesus is this man. That Jesus is the Messiah that's come to change the world. That's come to change and overtake and rebuild the cities and do all these things. John the Baptist says publicly in front of everybody, Jesus is the Messiah coming to do these things. Declares it, puts his neck on the line, and now he's imprisoned. See, Isaiah 61 said it come to set the prisoners free, and now John's in prison. Now here's Jesus, not fulfilling those expectations, and he's running around and he's preaching the gospel and he's preaching forgiveness towards those that use you. He's not saying overthrow the Roman Empire, he's saying forgive them. He's preaching love for one another, not divine retribution and vengeance. He's saying have faith. See people healed, see people's lives changed, see them come to God. And the Jewish people wanted their city back. Where's the divine retribution? Where's the prisoners being set free? Where's the Romans overthrown? Where's the vengeance for our people? 700 years of expectations built up, now not being met. And you thought it was hard to live up to your in-laws' expectations, right? Here's Jesus, 700 years of expectations. Now we pick up the story. Matthew chapter 11, it says, after Jesus had finished instructing, finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who has come, or should we expect someone else? Why? See, John expected the same thing. John expected that the Roman rule was going to be overthrown, that everything was going to change, that he was a prisoner and he was going to get set free. And that's not what's happening. Where's the divine retribution? Where's the vengeance? Jesus, is it really you that's the Messiah, or are we expecting someone else? This happens publicly. The man who declared that Jesus was the Messiah to the whole world, the man that ushered in the prophecy that Jesus was come to save the world, is now publicly questioning Jesus. So what does Jesus do? Of course, he answers perfectly. He replied, go back and report to John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Jesus calls on the scripture that John had mistranslated and says, these are the things that are happening already. I am who I am meant, who I am. Like, I'm the Messiah. I've come to save the world. What was written about me is happening. You're just not seeing the full picture. He says, blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me, on account of that wrong expectation. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. And he says, what did you see? What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in the king's palaces. then what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. And Jesus says, right here, your expectation was set to see the Messiah, and you're seeing him in exactly the flesh. You are seeing God in flesh. It's just not what you expected. There's just not the divine retribution. And we'll get to that. But Jesus is saying, you are seeing exactly what you were searching for. It says, this is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, and you will, and who will prepare a way before you. He's talking about John. He says, truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who has come, who was to come, sorry. Whoever has ears, let them hear. To what can I compare this generation? They're like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge and you didn't mourn. For John came, neither drinking nor eating, and they said he has a demon because he was fasting. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And here Jesus finishes his point perfectly, but wisdom is proved right by their deeds. See, Jesus is saying, you sung the tune of your expectations and I didn't move. You sung the tune of mourning and I didn't mourn. Jesus right here says, your expectations are wrong. Your expectations of the Messiah are wrong. I will not dance to the tune of the world's expectations of what those expectations are. I will only do what I was supposed to do from God. Jesus answers the question about retribution, judgment. And he says, stating right there, you don't realize, crowd, that since the days of John the Baptist until now, a war has been waging in the spirit. Violence has been coming against the kingdom of God. A war has absolutely been waging. And John has now fallen victim to this war. John's now fallen victim to this doubt. This time where he's going, is this really you, Jesus? And Jesus knows the victory is coming. Jesus knows the cross is coming. See, John's calamity was his own doubt. Jesus not meeting 700 years of expectations, the spiritual warfare around him waging. Maybe your calamity looks like circumstance like mine did. Or maybe your calamity is those thoughts of, God, are you really there? Do you really hear me? Why is this happening to me? Maybe you're at war. Maybe you're at war with addiction, with sin. Maybe you've got a circumstance that is so stressful that you're looking at everybody else and you go, man, this is the worst it gets. I'm going to have to make my friends redundant. I'm going to have to cut their wages. I'm going to have to, whatever calamity it is you're going through. But Jesus brings clarity. Jesus says, I will not meet expectations of humanity. No, I will do what needs to be done. Not serving others' expectation, but the actual plan of God from the beginning of time. See, Jesus doesn't dance to the tune of our expectations. He doesn't dance to the tune of our reactions. Jesus will do what is right and what is perfect. See, the following verses, and I'm not going to read them out, but the following verses, Jesus actually says, woe to all of these towns and cities that rejected the Messiah when I came and I showed you. And he promises judgment. And he promises that the divine retribution will come, but at the second coming of Jesus. Here's the thing. Is that Jesus actually did fulfill all of the promises. But so much greater than the expectations that were placed on him. The expectations of setting the prisoners free and setting the captives free and declaring freedom to the poor and blind eyes would see and the deaf would hear. All of those expectations were the Jewish people were saying, that's for us. But Jesus did it for all eternity. Jesus didn't set the captives free in the time that John was hoping that he would get out of prison. No, he set you free from eternal damnation. He set you free from the slavery and the prison of sin. He set me free. He set us free for the next 2,000 years. The Jewish people's perspective was small, but God had an eternal perspective. God wasn't thinking about the Jewish cities. He was thinking about restoring people, restoring the relationship that was broken. Jesus wasn't about the overthrowing the Roman rule. He was about overthrowing the devil. See, in that moment on the cross, Jesus brings perfect, righteous judgment and also the mercy from that judgment to those who believe. He brings vengeance and divine retribution to the devil and the curse that he put on man. At the crucifixion and the resurrection, Jesus puts to death the curse that we were under and gives us eternal life. His salvation and the renewal of his people become available for all mankind, not just the Jewish people. The promised city of Zion that we'll all get to be in, and there won't be any mourning and there won't be any pain. It's heaven that we get to share in as believers. And then he fulfills the scripture that they didn't know how to translate. He sends the Holy Spirit and righteousness through faith to fulfill the promise of the highway of holiness. That there would be a way to holiness. These days, since my celiac diagnosis, I can't have takeaway food much anymore. You go past Macca's and you're like, yeah, I'll just get whatever. I go past Macca's and I'm like, I can't eat anything. Chips. That's basically it. Yeah, or you like, I'll have a cheeseburger without the bread. So instead, I decided to put takeaways in my preach. So here's three takeaways. Here we go. Firstly, calamity will come. You will have the feeling at some point in your life, God, do you not see me? God, do you not care? John in prison, you were supposed to set the prisoners free. Do you not care about me? Are you not him? Is there someone else? You're going to feel like that. Calamity is going to come. You're going to be, what purpose does this calamity serve? God, I thought that you promised all of this vision and that the church was going to be great and that members would be added and that we would be great financially and that we'd be able to further your kingdom. And Holy Spirit, I was convinced. Why have you left me? See, the calamity is going to come. And in calamity, you need to check yourself. For Chris up the back, you need to chiggity check yourself before you wreck yourself. Big hip-hop fan back there. What expectations have you put on God, and where did they come from? And are they right or are they misguided? See, it's okay to expect things from God. We should have an expectation that his character is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's okay to expect from God that we're going to have mercy and grace because it's renewed every day. Like, some expectations on God is not a bad thing. But it is bad if they didn't come from God. If they came from the world. So where did they come from? Are they right or are they misguided? In calamity, check yourself. Secondly, is that Jesus brings clarity. His perspective is found in his presence. And that's where you belong. See, the disciples eventually got to the point where they could see that this was so much bigger than the Jewish people being under the Roman rule. So much so that they leave Roman rule and they just go spreading the gospel everywhere to everyone. Jesus brings clarity in your time of calamity, but you have to be in his presence. That's where you belong. And the third takeaway is to remember. Be careful to not despise the things that bring you to your knees. See, bitterness, it can seep in. You can look at the calamity and you can go, why did I have to go through that? God, if you were going to just fix it anyway, and you were going to keep the church going anyway, and like, why did I have to deal with that? Why did you make me have those conversations about cutting wages of people that are working twice as hard as they're paid for? God, what purpose did that serve? See, the bitterness can seep in about the calamity. You have to guard against it. This is the moment that brought you back to the presence of God. Don't despise it. And in your calamity right now, I pray that you get clarity. But I pray that this doesn't become something that you hold on to as a hurt. Instead, you're able to let it go and say, this is the thing that brought me back to the presence. With every eye closed and every head bowed, today, you might be going through a calamity. Or maybe you've gone through one, you got the clarity and you understand, but you've held a bitterness against that. Maybe today you've had wrongful expectations of God that he hasn't met, and you're just realizing, hey, that wasn't from God. That was just my wrongful expectations of you. Maybe it's a circumstance that you're facing today that feels so tough. Today I want you to lay it at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, I want to take off my temporary perspective. I want to put on your eternal perspective. The eternal perspective that no matter what my calamity is, no matter what I'm going through, I have peace that surpasses all understanding in the presence of God, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and your will be done whether I can see it or not. Your kingdom come and your will be done whether it meets my expectations or not. Holy Spirit, I pray today that wherever there's wrongful expectations, you call them out. God, wherever there's calamity, you're bringing clarity. You're showing your perspective. Holy Spirit, I pray today that we won't hold that bitterness and that resentment, but instead, we'll be glad that the circumstances that the devil tried to use to take us out were the things that brought us back to your presence, were the things that brought us to our knees. God, you are so good. In the darkness, you're still good. In the triumph, you're still good. You never fail. You're always good. Your mighty, awesome, wonderful name. Amen. Amen. If you're going through a calamity today and you need prayer, or you're feeling like, hey, I really need help to get through that, I'd love to invite you to come up the front and get some prayer from the ministry team. We'd love to pray for you. If you've just received clarity, why don't you tell someone about it? Declare that God is good. Declare that God is absolutely the best, and tell the testimony of what he's done in your life. So head on out to the cafe, have a coffee, and tell somebody about the clarity that you got today.